Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein, is by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has blessed us to come to you another night. Another day to bring you his truth, his great and exalted words. And I praise the mighty Yah for allowing us to bring you another program of Nothing But the Truth. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth. For Yah ordained me to tell you the truth, so this is what I'm going to do. But who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is our king. He's our lawgiver. He's our judge. He's the only savior, and not just of Yisrael, but the savior of the world. And I thank Yah for allowing us to come before you once again to bring to you his unadulterated words. Yah words are perfect. Therefore, the Creator lets us know we're not to add to his word, nor are we to take anything from it, for it is perfect. And oftentimes this is what's happening. Yah's words is fixed up, dressed up, diced up, scrambled up. And this is a total abomination unto the Most High. And since we are his servants, and his words come out of my mouth, I'm mindful of the imbalances that lie within myself and any man that would dare speak Yah's word. Therefore, the Almighty lets us know a couple things that I surely keep in mind. And I'll show you a couple things before I get into our program. However, what is our program about? What are we bringing to you this week? What have we been bringing to you, period? Well, this week, we've been bringing to you the seven signs of darkness. It seemed unusual because we started with the fourth. You might ask, well, why did we start with the fourth sign of darkness? Well, when the Almighty made the lights of heaven on the fourth day, he said, let these lights be for signs, seasons, days, and years, and let them rule over the day and over the night, and let them separate the day, the light from the darkness, and provide light upon the earth. And so, this was the beginning. This marked the beginning of our months, as well as our years, as well as the days of the months and the days of the year. This were the markers, even though the week started 3 days prior than the various months and the years and the days. And he said, let them be for signs. And what we're discussing with you and bringing to you the various signs, surely, if there are signs that exist that come from the lights, and it is. We see them all over the scriptures. I'm not talking about signs that come from our enemies, like the Big Dipper. I'm not talking about those type of signs. I'm talking about the type of signs or a shooting star. Yeah, it may be a lot of shooting stars. But what do that mean to you and I? Does the scripture say when we see a shooting star, that we are to do such and such and such. But the various lights that the Creator gave us, these are the things that the Creator told us He will give us as signs. So you may ask, then how can you have signs, seven signs of darkness? Well, to get from one day to another, 1 month to another, and 1 year to another, you must go through a night. You must go through darkness. And a lot of people ask me, well, how is the darkness relevant? It seems like y'all don't even deal with the darkness. Y'all don't even deal with the night. Since y'all say the Sabbath day start in the morning, and y'all say the month start in the morning, and the year start in the morning, it don't even seem like y'all deal with the night. Well, there are signs in the night also. And this is what we're dealing with. And we brought to you the fourth sign, the fifth sign, and now we're on the sixth sign. Now, how do we know even darkness also is a sign? I thought just the lights were for signs. Well, if you, since darkness follows the day, you have one day, you also will have one night. Little do people know, in order for you to have something complete, we talk about the month. And we teach that there's 30 days in a month. Well, how many nights do you think it is? Well, let me tell you, 30. If you say it's 360 days in a year, how many days do you think, how many nights do you think is in that year? Well, the same. Because in order for you to get from one day to another, 1 month to another, 1 year to another, you must go through this night, you must go through this darkness. And what do the darkness represent? And this is what we've been bringing to you. Since the Creator said He saw the light and that it was good. And all through the first chapter of Genesis, He would tell you He saw the light, that it was good. But what did He say about the darkness? Did He say He saw the darkness, that it was good? No, Yah did not say that. But He did tell us in the scriptures how He see darkness. And of course, if He see it like that, then how should we see it? And one of the things that I wanted to share with you concerning why this is very relevant and important for us to know is because the Creator said a false balance is an abomination unto Him. This is what you'll read in the book of Proverbs, the 11th chapter. And this is what it says in Proverbs, the 11th chapter, the very first verse. A false balance is an abomination to Yah, but a just weight is His delight. And Yah loves things to be balanced. You got a scale, and you put something on the left side, then to have any type of balance, you have to put the equal weight on the right side. And when it's balanced, that's something that Yah loves. But if that balance is off, this is something that Yah. And we brought to you the very signs of the day to let you know how good the light is, how special the light is. The Almighty said he sown light for the righteous. He said to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Proverbs, the 6th chapter, the 23rd verse says, the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. The Creator also said, Israel is the light of the world. So now you can see how good, how special the light is. The scripture says, as far as wisdom excelleth folly. This is how far the light excels darkness. So what is the relevance of darkness? The scriptures say the wicked walketh in darkness. And why? Because darkness represents something evil. Why you think when the Creator come back and he talk about his return with his anger, with his fury, he let the people know he's going to turn the lights off. The sun going to be darkened. The moon shall not shine. And why? And the day will turn dark. One scripture says, it says the sun will go down at noon in the day of Yah. Because Yah wants you to know what darkness also represents. This is why it says in the book of Leviticus, the 19th chapter, the 15th verse, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. And what is this letting us know? That in all judgment, there shall be no unrighteousness. Judgment has to be balanced. Yah is looking for balance throughout. And today, tonight, we're going to bring some more balance to you, because now we're talking about the sixth sign of darkness. Well, if you understand what the sixth day represents, the sixth day is when Yah made man and beast. Man was his greatest creation, because he made man after his own image and after his own likeness. But he made man and beast. And he made the creeping thing. All and the cattle. He made all this on the sixth day. And after he got finished making all these things on the sixth day, he looked back and he said, everything that I made, it was very good. So the sixth day was something very special to the Most High. So special that the Creator says, 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. But the sixth day, there was something that he wanted us to do that was diverse and different than the other days. Look what the Creator tells us to do in the sixth day that he didn't tell us to do in no other day at all. And watch what he says. In the book of Exodus, the 16th chapter. And I tell people that this is one of the reasons why blessings are withheld from them. And it says in the book of Exodus 16, starting at the 22nd verse, and watch what it says. And it came to pass that on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Now, why did they gather twice as much on the sixth day? Because if you read the story in Exodus 16 about when the Almighty will rain manna down for the people to eat, every day they had to gather it. But they could not leave nothing until the next day. But on the sixth day, it was just the opposite. Not only the Creator gave them twice as much, but they were able and they were commanded to leave whatever they gathered on the sixth day until the Sabbath day. And watch what it says. 23rd verse. And he said unto them, this is that which Yah have said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Shabbat unto Yah. Bake that which ye shall bake today. Seed that which ye will seed. And that remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning as Moses bade. And it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moshe said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto Yah. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days shall ye gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. So he gave them the bread of 2 days on the sixth day. And why did Yah do that? Because little do people know, the sixth represents when Yah will command his blessing. And who did he command his blessing on? Man and beast. That's who he commanded his blessing on. Watch what it says in the book of Leviticus, the 25th chapter, just so you can see. This is just giving you a preview of what the sixth represents. It represents when Yah will command his blessing on man and beast. This is when Yah will give you 2 or 3 times more than any other day. Leviticus 25. And watch what it says. And we'll start reading at the 18th verse. Wherefore ye shall do my statutes, keep my judgments, and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land in safety. And the land shall yield her fruit. And ye shall eat your fill, and dwell in therein safely. And if you shall say, what shall we eat the seventh year? Behold, we shall not sow nor gather in our increase. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. And ye shall sow the eighth year, eat yet of the old fruit until the ninth year, and until the fruits come in, ye shall eat of the old store. So in other words, in the sixth year, Yahweh said he will command his blessing. This is how we knew the sixth year from any other year. This is how you begin to learn your times, because you know what Yah would do at a particular set appointed time. And in 6 years, make no mistake about it, they got 3 years of fruit. Which means they did three times as much work in that 6 year, and then the 7 year, they were able to rest. The 8th year, they was able to rest, and they even had food for the 9th year, which would have been, once again, the 1st and 2nd year. This is when Yah commanded his blessing. This was the time where the Almighty said he saw that all that he made was very good. This is the time where he made man in his own likeness, his own image. Surely he had a greater blessing for them. Show you how blessed the sixth was in the book of Genesis. Watch this. Genesis, the 5th chapter. And what are we talking about? Well, we're still bringing to you the 7 signs of darkness. We started with the 4th. We showed you the 5th. Now we're showing you the 6th. But before I can show you the 6 signs of darkness, and you can understand that, I have to show you the review of the 6th sign of Yah's great blessing, the 6th sign of the light. And Adam had 12 descendants in the book of Genesis, the 5th chapter. The first generation after Adam, in the 5th chapter of Genesis, in the 6th verse, it'll let you know. And Seth lived 105 years and begot Enos, because Seth was the first generation after Adam. And then in the 9th verse, it says, and Enos lived 90 years and begot Canaan, because he was the 2nd generation after Adam. And, of course, during the time of Enos, that's when men began to call upon the name of Yah. And what do the 2nd represent? Well, it represents Yah's name. It represents heaven. It represents what Yah did on the 2nd day. And you'll see all that throughout the scriptures. It's nothing that we have to make up, insert, add. It's right there. Our people just never seen it. They never heard it. And it was never revealed until now. But it's revealed now because there are certain things Yah wants you to know in the last days. The 3rd generation after Adam is in the 12th verse. And Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahalaleel. The 4th generation. Is in the 15th verse. And Mahalaleel lived 65 years and begot Jared. And if you look up Mahalaleel, what do it mean? Since he's the 4th generation, well, it means praise Elohim. And what do the 4th represent? Yahweh praise. Why you think the tribe of Yehuda represents Yah's praise? Because he was the 4th tribe. The 5th descendant is in the 18th verse of Genesis, the 5th chapter. And Jared lived 162 years and he begot Enoch. Now, what about Jared or Yared? Well, Yared was the 3rd. He represents Yahweh's increase. There's only 2 other people that live longer than Yared. And matter of fact, there's only one other person that lived longer than Yared. Methuselah was the longest living man in the scriptures. And I think his next is Yared. Why? Because he represents Yah's increase. But the one that I want you to, we're here to talk about, to show you what the six represent, is Yahweh's son and who he hid. And this was Enoch. And look what it says in Genesis, the 5th chapter, the 21st verse. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with Elohim after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with Elohim, and he was not, for Elohim took him. In other words, out of all the people that the Almighty would take to him, because this man walked with Elohim, and any time the scriptures say somebody walked with Elohim, that means they were very perfect. They were very righteous. They were upright. And Yah love when a man can walk with him, because that means he's holy. That means he's peculiar. That means he's sanctified. And Enoch was. To the extent the Almighty took him to heaven, or took him up. And what generation was this after Adam? It was the sixth generation. And did not Yah say, this is when he commanded his blessing? And did not Yah also let us know, this is the time that he made man after his own image and after his own likeness? Now, that's good. So if this is the time that Yahweh will command his blessing, then what do you think the sixth sign of darkness represents? Of course, we let people know the last couple of days what darkness represents. And we brought to you the very scriptures, how the darkness represents something bad, something evil, something the wicked love, something the fool love, and something that righteous people don't even want to deal with, because he's on light for the righteous. So why do our people today is always kin to darkness? It must be that they really just don't know what the darkness represents. It represents blindness. It represents death, like you can't hear, death. But it also represents death also. If light represents life, what do you think darkness represents? Because in the kingdom of the Most High, you got to have balance. And we brought to you one, but we didn't bring to you the other. And a false balance is an abomination to Yah. So now we got to share with you these dark things. So for example, you know what this six represents. When Yah commands his blessing on man and beast, because that's when he made them both. Well, let's see what the darkness represents. First place I want you to look at is in the book of Exodus. Let's see if I'm telling you the truth. Because there's some dark things already happening and already here that you're going to have to see. You're going to understand why these things are happening. And this is in the book of Exodus, the 9th chapter. And I want you to see something that you may not know. When the Creator took our people out of Egypt, delivered them out of Egypt, before he did so, there were 10 plagues the Creator sent upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Well, the first plague that he will have Moses to do is not to throw his staff down that it become a snake or a serpent. That wasn't a plague at all. But the first plague that he will have Moses to do, put his staff in the water, and it turned the water into blood. The second plague that he will have Moses to do is he had the frogs come out of the water, and it went on everything in Egypt. The third thing, the third plague Moses was due, he stretched out his rod and smited the dust of the earth, and it became lice. Oh, man. On all the Egyptians, man and beast. The fourth thing that he did is he made flies come upon swarms of flies in the houses of the Egyptians and, of course, on his servants. The fifth thing that he would do is he caused all the cattle, the asses, the horses, the sheep, caused them all to die. But it's the sixth thing that I want you to see so you can understand the difference between the sixth sign of light versus the sixth sign of darkness. And watch what it says in the book of Exodus, the 9th chapter, starting at the 8th verse. And this is what it says. And Yah said unto Moshe and unto Aaron, take you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moshe sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a bowl breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. And why? Because this was the sixth plague. And why? Because this is when he made man and beast on the sixth day. And why? Because this is the sixth sign of darkness. And they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh. And Moshe sprinkled it toward heaven, and it became a bowl, breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the bowls. For the bowls was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. And Yahweh hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them as Yah has spoken unto Moshe. In other words, again, the sixth sign of darkness is just the opposite of what Yah, if he commanded blessing upon man and beast in the sixth, then the sixth sign of darkness is when Yahweh will command his curse, as he did upon the Egyptians, because this was a curse. This was a plague, and a plague is a curse. And I'm going to show you that a plague is a curse. Matter of fact, let me show you that right now and show you what, how Yahweh would do and what Yahweh would do when Yahweh would do it, whether it's the sixth generation, the sixth day, the sixth one, like the sixth plague, the sixth time, the sixth born, the sixth month, the sixth year. This is what Yahweh would do in the sixth sign of darkness. Watch what it says in the book of Deuteronomy 28, because a lot of people want to know why they so sick. Why are they cursed with such diseases? Not only diseases that's written in the scriptures, but diseases that's not even recorded here. Watch this, and you're going to see why. In the book of Deuteronomy 28, and there are no people that is more sick and smitten with these type of sicknesses and illness more than our people. In the book of Deuteronomy 28, watch what it says in the 27th verse. And I may add, 27 is the order of six for those who've been following us. And watch what it says. Yah will smite thee with the botch of Egypt. And you've seen what happened in Egypt with the emeralds, with the scab, with the itch, whereof thou cannot be healed. In other words, various skin and bone ailments. People walking around with all kind of various diseases today, where they have rashes and eczema and stuff that can't be healed, breaking out in your head and in your skin, and you don't even know why. Of course, your enemies, they will tell you, just take this and take that and take this. And when you take it, you still got it. Because there are certain things that you just cannot heal, because it came from the Most High. And the Almighty said these things will happen to us. And we got to know. And we got to humble ourselves. After we done changed our diet, after we done changed how we do things, we done changed our soaps, and we done changed our water, we done changed everything. But for some strange reason, there are certain things you still cannot get rid of, because these things, these plagues, are from Yah himself. Now, if you turn back to the Most High, then there's a lot of things that you can get rid of. Let me show you this sixth sign of darkness. How do we know this, the sixth sign of darkness? Because this is the curse. See, he blessed the sixth day, and it was very good. But what do you think the opposite is? Well, the opposite of that six is something very bad. something very cursed. And let me show you that in the book of Job, the first chapter. Then after you see this, you're going to see why that's relevant to us today. Why you need to know this. There were seven different plagues that Job himself was plagued with. Job was a perfect man. He was upright. He was a man that feared Elohim and eschewed evil. He was an example of the way in which we're supposed to live, but he was plagued. His plague began in the 13th verse of the first chapter. And I may add, 13 also is the order of six. And watch what it says. And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in his elder brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. That was the first thing that happened to Job. While he was yet speaking, there came also a another and said, the fire of Elohim is fallen from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell them. That was the second thing that happened to Job. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands. Why three bands? And fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. In other words, that is the third thing that happened to Job. Now watch this fourth thing. And the fourth, typically, and when it's good, it means praise Yah. But watch what happens here. While he was yet speaking, 18th verse, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And why the four corners of the house? And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. After these four disastrous things happen, these four plagues happen, these four signs of darkness, evil, happened to Job, it was only one thing he could do. It tells you in the 20th verse, then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshiped, and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return there. Yah gave, Yah taken away. Blessed be the name of Yah. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged Elohim foolishly. Of course, many of our people don't have this spirit. In other words, as soon as calamity, adversity, evil come to their doors, it's got to be somebody's fault. So they begin to point the finger at one another. It's your fault. It's your fault. Well, Yahweh didn't do this for you to point the finger at one another, for you to slander one another, for you to hate one another, to fight one another. Yahweh only do this. He only bring adversity to your doors for you to consider. To consider your actions. Consider your thoughts. Consider your ways. And consider him. That's what he wanted you to do. That's what Job did. But that's only four. Let me show you the next two plagues. And then you'll find this in the book of Job, the second chapter. And watch what it says. And once again, where do this begin? In Job, the second chapter, third verse. And this is what it says. And Yah said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, perfect, upright man, one that feareth Elohim, eschew of evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without a cause?" And Satan answered Yahweh and said, "Skin for skin, yea, all that a man have will he give for his life. But put forth thy hand now and touch his bone," which is number five, "and his flesh," which is number six, "and he will curse thee to thy face." And Yah said unto Satan, "Behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life." So went Satan forth from presence of Yah and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown, meaning the crown of his head. And he took him a potsherd, scraped himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. In other words, Satan brought a plague, a curse, that was so bad that it affected Job's bones as well as his flesh. And they were called boils. Well, what did you think he did with in Egypt? The sixth plague of Egypt. Did not he bring boils? What do you think the sixth curse was in the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, where we just read the 27th verse? Didn't he say the botch of Egypt, the emeralds and the itch and the scab? In other words, various plagues that affect the bones and the flesh. Here are people walking around with arthritis and don't even know why. And you know what arthritis affects? First, it affects your joints. And then it begins to affect your bones. A lot of people, arthritis, they can't even stretch their fingers out. They can't even stand up. Their bones and flesh are totally affected by this plague, this curse, and why? Well, we're reading why. Not only in Egypt, not only with Job, just to show you how this sixth sign of darkness affects the whole world and has affected the whole world. Look what happened during the time of Noah in the book of Genesis, the sixth chapter. Watch this. And if you didn't notice, when the Almighty allowed the flood waters to come upon Noah in the earth, because he spared Noah, but it was in the 600th year of Noah's life. And why 600? Because what I'm bringing to you is the sixth sign of darkness. in Genesis, the 6th chapter, this is what it says in the 5th verse. And Elohim saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented Yah that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And watch what Yah says. And Yah said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. Now you see what Yah would do. He would take life itself. This is the type of darkness that we bring into you. And don't think this is just in the past, because I'm about to show you what Yah has determined to do in the future, even during our lifetime. So you can see this. And yes, Yah will destroy man. Look what the Creator says in the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter. And since we're dealing with the sixth sign, then it only makes sense that we read the sixth commandment. You know the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, in the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter, the 12th verse. And I may add, the 12th verse, it represents 5. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee. And what do 13 verse say? And what do 13 represent? Well, it represents 6. And look what the Creator says, thou shalt not kill. Many of your scriptures, it might say, thou shalt not murder. Why? Because that's when he made man. And you don't have no authority to take life, but Yah do. So imagine if you're blessed, he says, thou shalt not kill. But what do you think will happen if you're cursed? And he's seeing his plague on the earth. And the Creator has already let us know that if Noah, Daniel, and Job was in the earth, they would only save themselves by their own righteousness. Because that's what Yah would do with righteous people, but not so with the wicked. If he's seeing this sort of four judgments on the earth, they will be consumed. And so we have here, thou shalt not kill. But make no mistake, his darkness that he was seeing upon earth is going to do exactly that. It's going to kill. That's what it's going to do. That's what you will see. And that's what you're going to see in the near future. A lot of people under the erroneous impression that they can escape the very signs of the Most High. They can escape these various plagues. And little do they know, these things are already determined. Your future is already determined. You just don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. But make no mistake about it, Yah know what tomorrow is going to bring. He already know. You don't. And let me show you one of the things that the Most High said will surely come to pass, especially for those who think they can run and hide and somehow escape. In other words, if I get to a certain geographical location, this is where Yah will hide and spare us. But this is what the Almighty had to say about that in the book of Isaiah, the 6th chapter. And what are we discussing? We're discussing Yah's sixth sign of darkness. In other words, there is no good without evil. There is no up without down. There is no in without out. This is the balance of life. Since there's a time to be born, there's a time to die. Since there's a time to love, there is a time to hate. And here, since Yah commanded his blessing upon the sixth, surely you must know that there's also a command for a curse. In the book of Isaiah, the 6th chapter, and this is a future prophecy that a lot of people don't even know about, and this is what it says, the 8th verse. Also, I heard the voice of Yah saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive it not. Make the heart of these people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Then said, How long you want me to do this? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and Yah have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return. It shall return where? In other words, after Yah have removed men far away from the land, as he has done, and he took us far away from our holy land, he says, but yet in it shall be a tenth. And why? And it shall return. In other words, we're going to have Israelites to return home, as we already have Israelites in the land today. And they did just that. But it says in that 13th verse, which is the order of 6, but yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return and shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak, whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. So what is this saying? This saying some of our people will return home. And a tenth shall be there. And the Almighty said they shall be eaten. And why? Because they didn't listen. Why? Because they couldn't see. Why? Because they did not wait on Yah. They thought they can escape the wrath of Yah. And no matter where you at, you can't hide. You can't run. You will face judgment. And this is the judgment of those who think they can run back home. And not just them. Something else Yahweh wants you to see. As I brought to you before. That's why the sixth commandment was thou shalt not kill. Because that's when he commanded his blessings. But when he commanded his curse, there's a lot of people that must be killed. Watch this, and I showed you this before in the book of Isaiah 13. And you know what 13 represents because I've been telling you. And watch what it says. In the book of Isaiah 13, 9th verse, it says, behold, the day of Yah cometh, cruel, both with wrath, fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. In other words, Yah is turning off the lights. And why? Because evil is coming. That's what happens in the darkness. And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. In this 12th verse, this is what I want you to see. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. In other words, as I've been telling you, man will even become more rare than even gold. And why? Because this is when Yah will command his curse. As he commands his blessing, he will also command his curse. This is what we have to know. This is what we have to be mindful of. This is what we have to see and hear so we can prepare ourselves for one thing and one thing only, and that's to seek the Most High and let Him be our fear and let Him be our dread. The various things our people talking about today and dealing with today, let me show you what Yahweh think about the things that our people have concerned themselves with today and how our people look dealing with the vanity. In other words, they're not even dealing with his words. They won't come together in his word. They refuse to gather themselves together in the word of Yah. And I'm going to show you how Yahweh see this in the book of Jeremiah 13. Now, I'm not going to keep repeating what 13 represents. And watch what this says. You've seen what happened in Isaiah 13. But watch this in Jeremiah 13. I'm going to start at the very first verse. Thus says Yah to me, go, and get thee a linen girdle, and put it upon thy loins, and put it not in water. In other words, make it real nasty. And that's what happened when you put on a girdle and then you don't clean it and wash it. So I got a girdle according to the word of Yah and put it on my loins. And the word of Yah came unto me the second time, saying, take the girdle that thou hast got upon thy loins and arise, go to Euphrates and hide it there in a hole of the rock. So I went and I hid it by Euphrates as Yah commanded me. And it came to pass after many days that Yah said unto me, arise, go to Euphrates and take the girdle from thence, which I commanded thee to hide there. Then I went to Euphrates and did, and took the girdle from the place where I had hid it. And behold, the girdle was marred, and it was profitable for nothing. In other words, it was worth nothing at all. Then the word of Yah came unto me, saying, thus says Yah, after this manner will I mar the pride of Yehuda and the great pride of Jerusalem, this evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, walk after other idols, to serve them, to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. For as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Yehuda, says Yah. In other words, you can't get away from the Most High, no matter what you do, that they might be unto me for a people, for a name, for a praise, for a glory. They were not here. You're supposed to be the praise of the world, the name. You're supposed to be the glory, the light. But you won't hear. Therefore, thou shalt speak unto them this word. Thus is Yah Elohim of Israel. Every bottle shall be filled with wine, and they shall say unto thee, do we not certainly know that every bottle shall be filled with wine? Then shalt thou say unto them, thus says Yah, behold, I will fill all the inhabitants of this land, even the kings that sit upon the throne of David, and the priests, and the prophets, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with drunkenness. And I will dash them one against another, even the fathers and the sons together, says Yah. I will not pity, nor spare, nor have mercy, but destroy them. See, this is what Yah will do, and this is what Yah have done. And many of our people today who refuse to hear what we bring to them, what we telling them, the Almighty said they're profitable for nothing. And they just like this girdle that was buried and then dug up, and that girdle was profitable for nothing. Furthermore, this is what Yah says in the book of Hosea, the 13th chapter, because we're talking about the sixth curse or the sixth sign of darkness when Yahweh will command his curse upon man and beast. Watch what it says. Hosea 13. So in the near future, when you begin to see, and you will see, men, grown men, being rounded up, put irons upon their neck, and put in these houses that they call prisons, and there won't be no might in their hands to do anything. And many will be rounded up, never to be seen again. Then you're going to know that what we're telling you is the truth. When you see nations flying back to their land where they risk their life to leave, knowing they're going back to a land of poverty, a land that has no resources, but yet they will run back to save their life. Well, in the book of Hosea 13, this is what the Creator said, starting at the fourth verse. Yet I am Yah, thy Elohim, from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no Elohim but me. No Elohim you're supposed to know other than Yah. For there is no Savior besides me. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. Therefore I will be unto them as a lion, as a leopard by the way will I observe them. You know what a leopard do? A leopard just watch. Leopard real patient, just watch you, because he know exactly when to strike. Watch this eighth verse. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the caul of their heart. And there will I devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thy help. In other words, you see in the book of Hosea, the 13th chapter, what Yah said he will be unto us. He will be like the beast of the earth. First, he mentioned a lion. Then a leopard. Then a bear. Then another lion, and then the wild beast. This is what our people got coming, and the wicked, who refuse to listen to the Most High. And make no mistake about it, Yah said he will return, but he's going to return with his anger. Fierce anger, for vengeance belong unto him. Also, in the book of Zechariah, the 13th chapter, look what the Creator said he would do. Another future prophecy that you should know about. And we're going to start reading at the very first verse. Because a lot of people like talking about this third. It's going to be a third left. It's going to be this third, this remnant. Well, let me show you how it will become a third. Zechariah 13:1. In that day, there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, said y'all folks, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land. You realize there's going to come a time where there won't be a need of a prophet. What do you need a prophet for when all the people are serving the Most High? The only reason we got prophets today and prophets in the past is because he sent these prophets to return you to the Most High, and so the Most High can return unto you. They were sent to warn you and to tell you what Yah has desired and determined to do on you as a result of what you have done to him. Watch the third verse. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begot him shall say unto him, thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of Yah. And his father and his mother that begot him shall thrust him through when he prophesied. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophet shall be ashamed, every one of his visions, when he hath prophesied. Neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. But he shall say, I am no prophet. I am a husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. And watch the seventh verse. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, said Yahweh. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And I will turn my hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, says Yah, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, Yah is my Elohim. So this third that I hear a lot of people talking about, it is correct. It is a truth that it will be a third. But how do you think it will come to pass? Well, it will come to pass when Yah commands his curse upon man and beast. That's what Yah will do. This is the sixth sign of darkness. And there's a lot of dark things that will happen. Why do you think in the book of Isaiah 13 it talk about the fall of Babylon? Because that's when Yah will command his curse. whether it's the sixth time, the sixth born, the sixth generation. Whether it's the 6-1, 6 month, 6 year, once darkness falls, and it's the six. Make no mistake about it. Man, as well as beast, will be contended with. Last scripture in the book of Ezekiel, the 20th chapter. In the book of Ezekiel 20, because this is when most, a lot of people think we're in the wilderness now. They tell you, we're already in the wilderness, and I'm here to tell you, this is not the truth. We're not in the wilderness as we speak, but we will be, because the Almighty said he will take us out of this land. I may add, 20 represents 6. And look what's going to happen. Because the Creator said he was going to take us out of this land. And that is true. But what a lot of people don't know, this is what's going to happen. Ezekiel 20, verse 33. As I live, says Yah Elohim, surely with a mighty hand, with a stretched out arm and fury poured out, will I rule over you, and I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries. In other words, we're coming out from the people. We're coming out of these countries wherein ye are scattered with a mighty hand, with a stretched out arm. And Yahweh wants you to know how this is going to be done. With fury poured out. This is not going to be some nice thing that's going to take place. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face. Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, says Yah Elohim. And let me tell you how he pleaded with our fathers. It called the wilderness of the days of old a land of drought. A land that was full of scorpions. Just show you this. I just want you to see this so you can understand what the wilderness is all about. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, I just want to see this. Because you might make it out of here, but you got another stop. You got a pit stop. And you need to know what this pit stop is all about. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, this is what it says, the 15th verse, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, and who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint. This is how Yahweh will plead with us face to face. So once again, we bring to you the sixth sign of darkness. It's not pretty. It won't be fun. And a lot of people have to die. But regardless of what the Almighty has determined to do, he let us know that him be our fear, and let him be our dread. So until tomorrow, Yah love you. So do I. Shalom.